Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome to IntelliCast. This is season 5, episode 7. Thanks for joining us. I'm real excited about this one. Hello, Brian. How are you?
I'm doing good. Now we're on intro number 2.
Yeah, we don't often mess up an intro.
No.
We'll do a retake on the intro. But hey, thanks for listening. This is we haven't done a news episode in a while, so there's a little bit of news to talk about. We haven't really talked in depth about the Super Bowl, so we're just going to kind of play along here. So thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. Season 5 is crazy. This episode brought to you by EMI Research Solutions. You can reach us at intellicast@emi-rs.com. Please follow us on Twitter, EMI_research. That'll make Brian and our marketing team really happy. Or IntelliCast1. You can also text us or leave us a voicemail. We'll read it on the air, no matter how crazy it is. 513-401-5463. What do you want to talk about first, Brian?
Well, should we talk Super Bowl? I mean,
yeah, let's talk Super Bowl.
We're a day past after recording this from the heartbreaking loss for the city of Cincinnati.
We had originally planned on doing a preview to the Super Bowl and kind of a celebration of the city of Cincinnati, but I think we got busy. We pushed it back till after the Super Bowl, which now it's more depressing because we lost it. But it's okay. First time the Bengals have been in the Super Bowl in over 30 years, and it's a big deal for the city. You know, we're a small market. It's really a big deal for this city, which hasn't won a title since 1990 in any sport. So the morale of this city has been unbelievable for the past month. We really needed it. I'm sure a lot of cities need it after going through what everybody's gone through the past 12 years. But I feel like everybody was walking more confidently. You know, you got a little hop in their step. People are happier. Like when I'm out and about, you know, you're just talking to strangers about the Bengals. So it's been awesome for the morale of the city. It's been awesome for mental health in the city. And I think despite the loss, it's been a nice run. Usually by, you know, Thanksgiving, we're done talking about the Bengals, right?
Right.
Here it is. Here it is. We're at, you know, we're at Valentine's Day and we're still talking about the Bengals. That's 3 months. That's crazy.
Well, normally, if you're talking about the Bengals at Valentine's Day, it's what are they going to do at the draft and what are they going to do with that top 5 pick?
Right. And we have a Gabby in our office. Her dad played in the previous Super Bowl. Jason Enderhees, who's been on the podcast many times, he went to the Super Bowl. Mary Draper, man, so many storylines just here in the office with the Bengals. And, you know, I'm not a huge Bengals fan, but I'm a temporary Bengals fan. I bought my first Bengals paraphernalia for Joe Burrow, who I'm a big fan of. And been a great run, like I said. Now they got to, you know, try to heal their wounds. And it's rough, man. Like, you lose a Super Bowl. You know, a lot of teams have just been resting and healing their injuries for the last 6 weeks. Bengals are just now starting that. So it's a rough offseason, I think, for the teams that go this far.
Right. Well, you and I talked about this yesterday. I think most of the core teams coming back and everyone knows what they need to fix. I mean, that was kind of shown midway through the third quarter. Like, this is what we need to fix.
Yes.
So I think they'll be back and they're going to be a force for the next few years.
I agree. But as we talked about yesterday, AFC is just loaded. So many good quarterbacks, so many good teams. I looked at the odds and the two favorites for the Super Bowl next year, Kansas City and Buffalo.
Yeah.
Bengals, I think, are fourth, which seems fair. That's where they probably should be, considering they were the 4 seed in the playoffs this year. But I think it's such a hard road, and you need a little bit of luck to get that far. Rough for the Bengals to try again, but you know, I think it'll be less than 30 years, obviously, before they get back to the Super Bowl. They're going to be in the hunt, hopefully, every year.
Right. I think they will be in the hunt. Part of that, though, is them being fourth in line for potential Super Bowl, getting to the Super Bowl or winning it next year, seeing as nobody had them this year in it. Most people had them winning six games at best and being last in their current division. So to being that, to now being a top five contender for the Super Bowl, I think it's a big jump. And we all agree they were ahead of schedule in terms of this, the rebuild and building up towards it.
Yeah. Want to talk about ads?
Sure.
We talked a little bit about ads yesterday. I liked the base one. I know it blew up the internet. I liked it. Yep. Hopefully everybody got their free $15 I don't remember what virtual currency it was.
I could not get it to scan on my phone. And we were sitting there like, what? Did they really pay X number of million dollars for this? And they tried to get it scanned, and I could not get it to scan. I don't know if it was my phone, my TV, or what, but I could not get it to scan. And by the time it was almost registered, the commercial was done. So,
yeah. I like that one. I like the Sopranos one, which got me excited for potentially another season of the Sopranos. The intro, I read afterwards that they got the creators of the Sopranos series to do that commercial. It was brilliant. I thought, if you're a Sopranos fan, it was amazing. What else? Which ones do you like?
I like the Sopranos one that you mentioned. I like the Amazon Alexa one with Scarlett Johansson and Colin Jost, real life newlyweds, and how it reads their mind. I thought that was funny. Amazon did release it a couple days earlier that I saw, but that was up there as one of my favorites. A couple of the movie preview ones that were kind of like of films that are upcoming this year. My son saw the Sonic 2 one. He's a big Sonic fan. So saw the end of it, looked at me and goes, "Dad, we're going to see that."
Yeah.
But I think a lot of them were kind of unmemorable, or the question of what was that? I think maybe the only other one I can really like recall, which is probably a good sign of the ad, is the BMW one with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Salma Hayek as Zeus for the new electric BMW.
Yeah, they get good reviews.
Yeah, that was one that I liked as well. And I consider a good ad is if I can, we're now 2 days past a Super Bowl, if I can still remember it from this point. So a lot of the other ones have kind of blurred out.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think ads are as big a deal as they were probably 10 years ago.
No, it's because they were releasing them online now days before. So it's not like it was 10 years ago where you were kind of waiting to see them, because now more than half of them are released beforehand. And then 10 minutes after the game's over, you can go watch all of them all at once.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So I will say, though, the halftime show was great. Oh, yeah, I know it's not ranked up. It's not. It doesn't take the crown from Prince and that halftime show, but I will say top three.
Yeah, it's way up there. Set's beautiful. Obviously, getting all that talent on the stage is way overdue. Really well done. Big fan. But yeah, you can't top Prince, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll ever be. Unless it rains during Purple Rain, you can't top it.
Right. Unless something else happens that corresponds with lyrics. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you top that? I don't know. But it was really well done.
Yeah. I like that they tried to keep it a secret, because when 50 Cent came out, that was kind of the surprise guest. And there's always, the last few Super Bowls, there always seems to be some sort of surprise person come out. But that they kept him. That was the surprise, and they had him come in like with his original music video in the club back from like 20 years ago. That was a joke my wife shared with me. She saw a meme about like, hey, they're sharing 50. There's concern that he's acting like Spider-Man and he's nearly 50 years old.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel a little old, because all the songs like that is stuff I grew up with. And now I'm realizing, man, I am getting old now. But I'm in that core demographic that all advertisers and that are trying to get to, that 18 to 45. So I'm right in the middle of that. So this fit right into my wheelhouse. Although I will say, we did let my kids stay up to watch it, and my daughter looked at me and she goes, "Dad, I don't like this."
Yeah.
And our response was, "Sorry, but this is what mom and dad grew up with."
Yeah, not your demo. You have no buying power. That's what I'd say.
Yeah. 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 She has no buying power yet. So.
Well, cool. Yeah.
No, I think that was great. I agree. Set was great. I like the story that came out while they were practicing, they were doing the rehearsals for it, that on the speakers outside SoFi Stadium, they were blasting Bon Jovi to so loud that you couldn't hear them practicing because they didn't want it spoiled.
Oh, okay. That's smart. I didn't think there was any big surprises. I mean, I guess 50 Cent was the surprise. I was hoping Ice Cube would show up, or maybe they'd play some different NWA hits. But, you know, they always say there's going to be this big surprise. There rarely is.
Right. I don't think many people were expecting a surprise this year with the lineup that they had already. I think the surprise was that the announcement was, oh, it's going to be Dr. Dre, and oh, he's bringing Snoop, Eminem, Kendrick Lamar, and Mary J. Blige with him. Like, yeah. Oh, you got that lineup? I'm not expecting anybody else, because you only have about 13 to 15 minutes for this show.
Yeah.
You already named five people. So,
yeah. Cool.
Should we switch gears to a different sporting event, to the to the Olympics?
Fine. Yeah.
So I have kept my, I don't know about you, but I have kept my viewing of the Olympics to zero so far. With some of the news coming out, it just reinforces my opinion that even though I do love the Winter Olympics, they are my favorite Olympics, I can't watch these ones. I don't like that they're being held now, that I feel like they should have postponed them a year with that Omicron wave hitting, because you're, particularly on the hockey side, you're not getting the best on best. You're getting either guys who have washed out, or you're getting ones who aren't quite ready to be in the NHL. And I want to see best on best if this is part of the Olympics. And two, just all of the other stories coming out from the people testing positive right when they get there, and now they can't compete, for people who are in line for medals, to the big story with the Russian athlete doping. I get that she's 15, but that's on the coaches and stuff. And the rule is, no, you can't take it. She shouldn't be able to compete, but they're like, oh, well, she can compete, but we're not going to hold a medal ceremony if she wins. How is that fair to any of the other athletes?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
This has just opened it up to say, Russia, yeah, go ahead. Keep doping. We don't care.
Yeah. I'm with you. I haven't watched any, and I'm really down on the, I mean, we should have been down on the IOC a long time ago, but there's just no credibility. And when you allow Russia to continue to do what they're doing, and, you know, the Summer Olympics weren't that long ago, and we had an athlete right. that kicked out for smoking marijuana, which obviously right. isn't a performance-enhancing drug.
And right. it was if legal. Anything.
Yeah, right. If anything, you would slow down your performance, you would think. Mm-hmm. And so it's just not fair. And, you know, it's easy for us to sit here in America when we kind of dominate most athletic competitions, and we're even doing well in the Winter Olympics, which is a surprise.
Not really.
Yeah. But we're doing better than normal, I think. Normally we're like fourth or fifth in the Olympic medal count. But I just, it's everything. China, we can list a million things that are wrong with China. The IOC, the time zone, the weirdness of like the ski jump being in the middle of like a
nuclear power plant. Yeah. Apparently they have come out and said, no, that's like it is an industrial area, but it was for like metal production. Like,
yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's a nuclear power plant. Why would you design it to look like that?
And if you can have the Olympics there, then you can have it anywhere. I mean, you can build some fake snow and build a ramp anywhere. You can build that in Dayton, Ohio. You could have the Olympics. I mean, who cares at this point, right?
Right. I feel like they learned nothing from having it in Sochi, which is the summer hot spot for Russia. Let's have the Winter Olympics in the spot that has the same weather as like Tennessee. That makes absolutely no sense to me. It shows they haven't learned anything.
Yeah.
And I'm just frustrated. I feel bad for the athletes.
Yep.
Because one, Russia's doping again. I mean, they shouldn't, my opinion was they shouldn't have been allowed to compete in the last couple of Olympics because of all of the doping that went on, but now they're not allowed to compete under technically the Russian flag, but everyone knows they're Russia. I think that was a cop-out. Like, no, you can't come.
Yeah.
It needs to be that, but now you had it again. So it's shown it doesn't, they didn't learn their lesson. So what's even the point of having the rules then? Let's just go back to the home run race back when it was Sosa, yeah, and McGuire and Bonds. They're all taking, everyone knows they took steroids, but you want to know also, it also saved baseball because baseball was on the downward trend. So if we're just going to do it, fine. Let's have Wild West.
Yeah. I've said this before, but the next few Olympics are in Paris and Italy and Los Angeles. So it's getting back to, you know, closer time zones and more traditional areas for the Olympics, I think. So I'll get back on board probably for Paris games for the summer in Paris. I think that'll be good. But for now, I'm not going to watch it. And the ratings were just horrible. So,
right. I know the ratings are horrible. They were trying to pump it up through the Super Bowl, and who knows, that might be the best day they've gotten. I know I'm like, nope, not watching. And I love, I normally watch all of it, and I haven't watched a second of it. But this kind of goes into, I know you mentioned where they're going to be going up. I honestly, and this is a conversation I think most people have had of why did the Olympics go to a different city every 4 years? Why is this? Why do we not have four or five that just rotate around? Because it's been proven that to host the Olympics, it is a money pit. You spend billions of dollars to build the facilities, and then within 2 or 3 years, they're all run down. No one uses them, and your cities are becoming bankrupt trying to fund this for that one little bump in revenue that year for the city.
Yeah,
Brazil.
Unless it's in like the US or Europe, yes. Brazil, Greece, China, Russia. You know,
I think even some of the other ones even in Western Europe and here in the US, I mean, how much is, back when it was hosted in Atlanta, how much of those facilities, are they not all run down by this point? I'm thinking like Salt Lake. Okay, that wasn't too long ago.
Well, I mean, they can hold the Salt Lake, they can hold the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake, I think, tomorrow. And I think they do use a lot of it in Atlanta. So like the Olympic Village is Georgia Tech dorms, I think.
Okay.
A lot of the
facilities. So they've repurposed a bunch of it.
Yeah, that's how you have to do it.
Right. But there's a lot of countries that aren't. That they're building this and then they're just Brazil's always my example because of the stories that were coming out after it was done. Like stuff was falling apart within, like during the Olympics. And now it's all decrepit. It's all falling apart. And the city's bankrupt because of it.
Yeah.
I think it's honestly, you pick five locations for the summer, or four or five locations for the summer, four or five locations for the winter, and you just rotate them.
Yeah.
Yep. So North America, I'm sorry, but I don't think South America needs to host the Winter Olympics. But I also don't think Sweden needs to host the Summer Olympics.
Yeah.
So some areas aren't going to get them. So you pick somewhere in Northern Europe, in the Nordic area, you pick Canada, US, summer, winter, and kind of spread them out. So, all right, it's going to be if it's going to be in Asia, Europe, North America, South America, Australia, and you just pick a spot and rotate them through. That way it's the same facilities. They're not, you could update them, but it's one kind of big investment.
Yeah.
And then maybe the fund just goes into the pool to keep for the upkeep.
Yeah.
I would make Greece one of them just because, you know, it's where they started.
All right. Well, we'll revisit this in a couple of years.
Or in a couple of weeks, depending on what news comes out.
Yeah.
Next up, you wanted to talk some conferences.
Yeah. So some current event conference stuff. First one is, if you're still listening, thanks for listening through 10, 15 minutes of our sports discussion. There's a webinar tomorrow through the North Central chapter of the Insights Association. It's from our diversity inclusion team, and it's Moving Research Forward, How Leaders Can Be Inclusive and Effective. And it's by Dr. Rachel Yvonne Talton, I think is how you pronounce her last name. And that's Thursday, February 17th from 11 to 12 Eastern Time. That's the most current webinar that's tomorrow as we're recording this. Or yeah, as you're listening, it's probably tomorrow or today, actually. And then here's a few conferences we'll be at. The Insight Association annual conference. I'm really excited to go to this. I've never been. And it's in Philadelphia, April 4th through 6th.
So and here's with that one, is that taking the place of a different conference? Because it feels like this one's a newer one. Like when I was kind of looking these up, I couldn't find a date for like the old Next conference, but then this one appeared. Is this kind of taking that place?
I don't know. I think that since they've merged all the chapters, I should know this, since they've merged all the chapters, they've been a little bit more structured with events and content, and it's a little bit more cohesive. It used to be a little bit more the Wild Wild West, that our chapter could kind of do anything we wanted. We could do 3 or 4 webinars a month if we wanted to. Now it's more structured, putting some better kind of roles in place and similarities across the chapters, which is probably better. And I think that the annual conference is kind of the centerpiece of all that.
Okay.
That's just my, we should probably have somebody from the Insight Association on to talk more about the content plan. But yeah, it's a little bit different, I think. But that's the annual conference this year is in Philadelphia, April 4th through 6th. I'm excited to go. There's one topic that I think you'd be interested in, the latest at Facebook Meta. That's kind of cool.
Don't get me started on that.
A friend of the podcast who's been on, Bianca Pryor, she's from BET. She's speaking about diversity education. And Jim in Brazil and Melanie Courtright and Julie Kern from Chevin Martin Bailey. Everybody knows her. So lots of good speakers. So if you're in the East Coast or you're really anywhere, that's really, to me, that's the first big conference of the year. And but then April gets crazy, right?
Oh, April is crazy for conferences this year. No one wants to host them in Q1.
Yeah, it's probably, this is probably smart. It's, the timing is working out really well, given how we are with COVID and everybody's relaxing all the regulations and stuff. And so that's in Philadelphia. And then, of course, Chicago is the next week. That's April 11th and 12th. That's in Chicago. And then the next week is IIEX North America, which is in Austin, April 19th and 20th. We'll be at all three of these. I'll be at the annual.
You'll be at 2 of 3.
And I'll be at the IIEX in Texas. And we're sending a couple people to Chicago. I didn't even mention Insights Marketing Day that you'll be at, right?
So there's news on this. If people are not aware, Insights Marketing Day is not going to be tied with Quirk Chicago this year because of how the date on it. So April 11th and 12th is a Monday and Tuesday. And normally Insights Marketing Day is the day before. And they are not hosting it on a Monday. So it is going to be coming up later this year, but it is still going to be in Chicago.
Okay.
We'll be there. I had to get that confirmed from Priscilla over at Little Bird. So.
Okay. And then SampleCon right around the corner in May. So that's in Pasadena again, 2 years in a row, May 16th or 18th. So April, May packed with conferences and places to go. I feel like this is the closest we're getting to back to normal. If we pull all this off, right?
Right. So I think this is kind of following, and I'm no virologist or anything like that, but it feels like it's following the same pattern as it did last year, where you had a rough winter, there was lots of cases, and then comes when it starts to warm up in the spring, there was a big drop, and the like mask mandates and stay at homes and all of that kind of disappeared, and you had a little taste of normalcy for, we'll call it 6 to 8 weeks or so. And I think they're trying to get that in, like, hey, we're going to hit this when it's kind of normal before whatever next wave happens, because it's not if a wave happens, it's when, before kind of the it gets cold and the next wave starts to spread throughout. I am just hoping that we're leaning more towards how like the flu goes now, where it's the next wave, but it may be more contagious, but it is less virulent or
severe
in its symptoms, that now we're just going to start treating it like the flu. Like, all right, you go get your vaccine every year or every 6 months and you're good to go. You just continue on with your normal day, kind of like the flu. Every year I go get a flu vaccine and I don't think anything else of it.
Yep. That's so, I think we're moving in that direction pretty fast.
Right.
especially with getting back to a little bit of research on why I think that America's done with all this, and there's midterm elections coming up,
yes.
right?
Yes. So. I think there is one frustration, and two, the frustration is twofold. One, I'm tired of living like this, and two, the double standard. And I say the frustration is easy. Everyone's tired of living like this. My kids are tired of wearing masks to school. And now I honestly, we were pretty diligent for the first 2 years, but now we're starting to slack off. My son had COVID beginning of the year, got it in school, half his class and his teacher got it. I mean, it happens, but we were lucky that it was mild. He was literally, it felt like he had a cold for 12 hours and then he was fine, but we kept him isolated. Finger, knock on wood, none of us, the other people in the house caught it, but my wife was upset. She's like, man, I feel like a failure. He caught it. And it was more of a, no, you held out almost 2 years to the point where he got the one that was like a cold for most people. I will preface that, because there's some people that it still hits them pretty severely, but he got the one and it acted like a cold, and we made it that far. We're to consider that a success. Now we're getting a little more lax. They can wear their masks less at school. We don't wear them out everywhere we go anymore. We're going back to, they're taking swimming lessons at the local Y again, where we hadn't done that for the last couple of years, just because how are you supposed to wear a mask in a pool? So I see that more. We're going back to normal.
Yeah, you hope so. If people are thinking about freaking wearing a mask in a pool, then we've gotten pretty serious.
Yeah. Issues. Well, I have one other thing to go back to when you talked about the Meta thing. It made me remember, and I want to ask you about this, ties back into our conversation about the Super Bowl ads. Did you notice the three different ads that kind of took shots at both Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk about that? We're not going to Mars. We're trying to save this planet, not some virtual planet. There was at least three different ads that took shots at one, if not both of them.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to a lot of the ads this year, so I do not know.
So one of them was a new electric car company, I think, and one was Salesforce. Salesforce had a Super Bowl ad, and it was a big, like, just jab to Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk about how, like, it was about stuff they were doing to help, like, this world, and it wasn't some virtual world or off colonizing Mars or stuff like that.
Yeah.
I got a chuckle out of that. I think it was more of a, if you kind of follow that stuff, you got it. Otherwise, it kind of went over people's heads, because my wife didn't understand. She goes, why are you laughing? I'm like, well, they're taking shots at Facebook and Elon Musk. So,
yeah.
Sorry to get sidetracked there.
That's all right. Let's move on to some news.
All right.
Just a little bit of news.
Yeah, a little bit. This will be a quick one. Forsta, formerly Decipher, and what was the other one?
Focus Vision and Focus all of Vision. all of their other kind of products that they had in there.
Was acquired by healthcare employee, patient, and consumer experience firm Press Ganey. What do you think about that?
It's an interesting deal, but maybe it shouldn't be anymore because of the value that people are placing on insights. And Forrest has really done a lot to position itself for that acquisition in the past few years to become. And it's interesting to hear how Press Ganey is describing them, accessing Forrest's CX and UX and EX and market research technology tools. Really interesting how they talk about it. When I think of Forrest, I think of as a survey programming platform. And other people might think it's a place to host your community. You can do qualitative research on it. That's how probably most people in research think about it. And whereas Press Ganey comes in, oh, wow, this will make us be smarter with insights and get customer experience and user experience, employee experience data much quicker. And it's also funny, they mention CX, UX, EX, and then they just spell out marketing research.
Right.
Because, you know, we're not good at we don't have an abbreviation like that, but it's a big deal. I think they'll keep it separate. That's my assumption. As a standalone, I don't think you'll see a lot of changes. This is probably a good acquisition for marketing research as a community. That's my opinion, though.
I think they'll keep a portion of it separate because they're not going to want to cut that revenue stream from market research firms and brands that use all of those tools. They're not going to want to cut that off. But I think you'll see more of it being integrated with the other press gainy type technology that they're using for patients at hospitals. Yeah. That, hey, they're going to be able to offer this. And I think it's going to increase their revenue. They'll be able to keep the market research revenue and increase their healthcare revenue on that side with getting into stuff that maybe they couldn't before.
Right. So another big, big deal in marketing research. But I don't remember the financials were released, but it's got to be well over many billions, I would assume.
I thought it said it undisclosed.
Yeah. My assumption, let's want to guess. Maybe we'll never know. I'm guessing 5 to 10 billion.
That's not, that seems reasonable.
If Qualtrics is getting what they got.
Yeah.
Many billions for Forsta, which is huge, obviously.
Right. Next up. Zappi reports a 30% growth year over year for 2021.
Good job for Zappi. They're now a $50 million company, which is huge for them. Grew 30%. And, you know, you'll hear this in an upcoming episode with Lisa Wadding Brown. I really think that I love seeing all these record years, which means our industry is really growing. Everybody can grow. This isn't a zero-sum game. So I think hopefully everybody, even though we're competitors and it's good to hear how everybody is kind of getting record years or record quarters and moving towards growth. That means people value insight, even during a tough, I mean, this is a tough time period with the stock market and inflation and all of the supply chain issues. We talked a little bit about with Lisa Wadding Brown, which you'll hear in the next episode, about how we're somewhat recession-proof. People are really valuing insights in res tech or whatever you want to call it in our whole industry. So this is fantastic.
Yeah, I think it too. And that's also showing that kind of rebound from that downward, that down of what we'll call it Q2, Q3 of 2020. Because the bounce back kind of started at the end of Q3 2020. But it just seems that rebound has continued. And that just kind of, that reporting just shows it.
And yeah, and I think that people were just being, hanging on to their budgets during that time period, right? It wasn't, oh, we're broke, we can't spend money. It's really trying, all right, we need to rethink how we're doing research, right? That's what I think happened, and it's continued to happen, is, you know, the world is changing. We have to reallocate how we're thinking about how we do research. And that was what happened, I think, through till the summer of 2020. And we see that now, that research has obviously rebounded incredibly. Yeah, that'll continue, I think.
Yeah, no one wasn't going to do research. It's just we are in a new situation. Because unless you were 100 and some odd years old and you lived through the first pandemic with the Spanish flu, no one had been through this. So it wasn't know what to expect. And all right, you didn't know how long it was going to last or what was going to be needed. So it's kind of the same situation if you're in your personal life. Like, do my going to spend this money or am I going to do this or am I going to, you know what? I'm unsure about this. I'm going to hold off, but I might do it later type thing. I'll put this into preference. I told you yesterday for my birthday coming up here, we are going to go indoor skydiving. I wanted to go real skydiving before we had kids because my wife has put her foot down and said, I am not allowed to do that once we have children until they are 18 and out of the house. But the compromise is indoor skydiving, but we were supposed to go April of 2020. Well, we had to push that off because it was closed. Well, we're still going to do that, but now we're going to do it this year. The kids are actually old enough now to do it with us. So it's kind of that same, we've had to push it off a little bit because we needed to work out the uncertainty of what was happening.
Yep.
In our final story, Savanta acquires MindSpark Research. This is a bit of a smaller acquisition, but still one to take note of.
Another MindSpark Research, which focuses on user experience and qualitative insights. It's a smaller deal, but it's always nice mentioning all of these kind of deals that are happening, which will continue to happen as people leverage themselves for growth. And so this seems like a good acquisition by Savanta. Smaller, but worth mentioning for sure.
that rounds out all our news. I know it's a light news episode. We wanted to kind of focus this one more on our Bengals and Olympics and sports talk this time around. If you didn't really enjoy this one, we do apologize, but this is
no apologies.
Well, the next one will be more market research centric.
Well, the next one, Lisa Wadding Brown, has been on before talking about mostly around the funding that they just acquired and how that happens. It's kind of, to me, it was really interesting because I don't know how that happens. And Lisa, who, we'll just preview the next episode. We don't often do that.
No.
Who's newer in her CEO role, which I feel like she's been doing it forever. And she called me out on it and kind of saved it during the episode, which you'll enjoy. But just kind of interesting to have her on. She's always great. So we'll have her on. If you have any ideas for guests or segments or topics, we have a couple more topical ones coming up as well soon. So thanks for listening as always, and we will talk to you soon.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.